Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the STN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, October 26th. Week 8 is upon us, and of course, today on the podcast, I'm going to break down some wide receiver cornerback matchups for the DFS heads out there. Before I get into that, though, did want to update us on the injury front. Of course, this seems to be the dominant theme of 2023. Injuries, injuries, injuries. And this week isn't any easier. Let's start with Tyreek Hill. So I don't have a Thursday practice report, but he did pop up as a DNP yesterday with what is being called a hip injury. Tua Tagovailoa was asked about it. Jaylen Waddle was asked about it. And neither one of them said really anything to reporters. So this one's a little weird. I will say this, of any practice report, Wednesday is the one that we should take the most with a grain of salt. It doesn't really tell us that much. A player can go DNP on Wednesday, especially in week 8. We're almost at the midpoint of the season for these guys. They could be banged up and just getting rest. Or it could be the sign of something more serious. I don't know yet. So in any of these instances, don't go jumping off any bridges. Don't freak out. Have a plan in place. Prepare for the worst. Hope for the best. This is the reason, though, a lot of people in the FTN Discord community are getting the same answers from me when they want to trade away. Like, say they have 5 startable wide receivers. They can't start every one of them every week, but they have 5 of them. And they want to trade one of them away for a running back. My answer usually is no, I don't want to get rid of depth. The reason for it is simple. If I have that depth, I can sustain things like this. Like if Hill was to miss a game, I can sustain that. If I get rid of that and I basically scrub my depth out, and now I'm sitting with just 3 starters, I'm screwed. Yeah, okay, great. I have wide receiver 57 on my bench. Now I got to start that dude. I'm screwed. As opposed to, you know, that draft strategy that I talked about a lot back in July and August, let's load up at wide receiver. That will help us sustain throughout the course of the season because we start more of these guys than any other position. So Hill, I'll give you more of an update tomorrow. Obviously, I'll break down the remaining games tomorrow. How about Brock Purdy popping up on the injury report with a concussion? Wednesday concussion. Uh-oh. It is extremely rare for a guy who is not placed in protocol on that Sunday to clear for the following week. If they're placed Tuesday, Wednesday, it's really rare because part of the protocol, I mean, it's a multi-step process, but 2 of the most important steps that we can relate to, that we can actually see, because you can't see all the steps, obviously, with the injury report, but the 2 that you can see with practice reports, they need to get a limited practice session in, then they need to get a full contact session in, which is a full practice. You cannot clear concussion protocol until that point. So, Wednesday, DNP. I don't have a practice report today. It won't come out until long after this podcast publishes, but if you see another DNP, it is time for the Sam Chise. I don't know. We were trying to come up with nicknames for him. Sam Chise, Shanna Sam, Sam Francisco. I don't know. Sam Darnold, baby. The practice all-star that he is. Remember back in the preseason, the offseason, Matt Mayocco, who covers the team on the 49ers beat, said he basically compared him to Steve Young, which mad respect for Mayocco. I have no issues there. And maybe he did look like Steve Young in practice, but he's one of those guys. He's so much better in shorts and a t-shirt than he is in pads. However, we have not seen Sam Darnold play in a Kyle Shanahan offense, so that could change things. Now, when we compare Sam Darnold to Brock Purdy, like from a physical standpoint, exclude the 10-inch space between their ears, Sam Darnold is vastly superior. He's a much more prototype physical specimen for the position than Brock Purdy. However, when you look at the smarts and the ability to execute and the anticipation and all of the different things that you would want out of a quarterback to execute an offense, Brock Purdy is the superior guy, at least to this point in his career. So, what do we do? Well, guess what? I am I'm going to have Sam Darnold as a top 15 option. Yes, I said that. All right, so the matchup, it's not amazing against Cincinnati, but I don't hate the matchup. You know, it'd be one thing if they were facing one of the best defenses in the league. Cincinnati, they have the bright spots. They can get after the passer for sure in the pass rush, lay the wood there. But the benefit that you have when you're Sam Darnold, compared to like Sam Darnold in Carolina, like Sam Darnold in Carolina, like yes, he had Christian McCaffrey and he had DJ Moore. And like that was it. Like that was literally it. So now he has Christian McCaffrey. All right. He has Brandon Ayuk. It doesn't look like Debo's going to play, but then he has George Kittle as well. Like that helps. The scheme helps. I don't know. It is appealing. He's just a rental. I don't think this is like all of a sudden, you know, and that was the day the Sam Darnold era started. Like, I don't think that's the case, but I do think he's very playable. DK Metcalf practicing in full. Kenneth Walker not. Now, I don't have a Thursday on him either. Again, don't panic if you have Kenneth Walker. Don't panic. Now, if he goes DMP on Thursday, things are looking a little worse, but it's not the end of the world. If he goes DMP on Friday and he's called questionable, I highly doubt that he'll play. So if he didn't play, Zach Charbonnet will not slide into Kenneth. And let's be clear, this is a tough matchup. It's Cleveland. Kenneth Walker's still a top 10 play against Cleveland. Zach Charbonnet would not be, though I would expect him to see a lot of work. It does look like Kenny McIntosh could be back. He was designated to return off injured reserve. So you could see him a little bit. I like Kenny McIntosh as a player. I just don't know if he's going to be much of a fantasy asset ever. He was nice at Georgia. He's just limited from an athletic standpoint. But you could still be quality. You don't have to be a rock star athlete to be a quality running back in the NFL. However, Charbonnet, I would say because of the matchup, he'd be an RB2 play. Like, he'd be definitely top 20, probably not top 15. If he is, then he's like at 15. Because he would see a decent amount of volume. So that's something to keep an eye on. Let's see what else here. I mean, Alvin Kamara didn't practice, but it was due to illness, so I'm not overly concerned. Saquon is practicing, so that's good. Zach Moss didn't practice on Wednesday, but it looks like he got back in the mix here today. So any hope of Jonathan Taylor being like a 30-touch guy, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think Moss ultimately plays. Bijan, not even on the injury report. Yay. Also, no Deshaun Watson yet again, so P.J. Walker will start again this week. Roschon Johnson got to full for the Bears, so there's a good chance that he'll be back in the mix this week, though I mentioned this yesterday on the podcast. I'm still in on Deontay Foreman for the time being. I think the genie's a little bit out of the bottle, and they're not going to be able to put that thing back in. All right, let's move to wide receiver cornerback matchup upgrades, downgrades. This is for the DFS crowd. Why? Because in DFS, you have to navigate things that you do not have to navigate in season-long fantasy football. Namely, you have to navigate things like salary. You know, you don't have salary in redraft fantasy football. You have to navigate ownership percentages. You want ceiling. You don't want midpoint. Like in season-long fantasy football, I want midpoint more than anything. Like I'll take the ceiling. I just don't want the darn floor, but I want midpoint more than anything. In DFS, I want ceiling. So you have to play for ceiling. You have to play these matchups a little bit more intently than you do. Plus the fact that you're facing thousands of lineups as opposed to just one other lineup. In most of our fantasy leagues, we are just playing one opponent. We're not playing several opponents. Thousands potentially. So that is really the reason here, because people will ask me that from time to time. They're like, well, why do you care here but you don't care there? Like, why do you care about the matchups here in DFS and not as much in season long? That's why. Matchups are a part of season long rankings, but they're certainly not the biggest factor. Okay, so upgrades. AJ Brown. I mean, if you're going to pay up, might as well pay up for a slate breaker, right? AJ Brown. Five straight 125 plus. One of those games did come against the Commanders. He had nine catches on 13 targets for 175 yards and two scores in week four. Now, I will say that it is worth noting that was because of Emmanuel Forbes. He is not now starting for the team any longer, the rookie. However, the Commanders keep giving up huge days. Like they gave up that DJ Moore game, the three touchdown game. That was the Commanders. Remember on Thursday Night Football, Drake London had 125 receiving yards against him, not 100, 125 receiving yards against him in week six. AJ Brown, yes. Devontae Smith, kind of yes. I know it's tricky, but In DFS, I'm going to have some lineups with him. I like Nico Collins for DFS purposes this week against Carolina. Dante Jackson has been super generous to opposing receivers. 19.2 receiving yards per catch allowed in his coverage. He's also allowed 2 touchdowns in his last 3 games. The aforementioned DJ Moore. I do like this. Tyson Bagent wasn't that bad last week. He doesn't have a major ceiling right now. I think they're going to keep the reins on him, but he's not bad at all. And I don't think he puts a damper on DJ Moore. Plus the fact, okay, you have Asante Samuel Jr. allowing 15.7 yards per catch. Michael Davis on the other side has allowed 5 touchdowns in his coverage. That is tied for the league's high right now. So he is leading in a category that you don't want to lead in. Calvin Ridley. I know, but this week I think I'm going to have some DFS exposure because we do know there's a ceiling there. Like, it's not a not, I don't think, I think people misconstrue when I'm lower on a player, like in draft rankings, let's say. If I'm lower on a player, it's not like I hate that player. I'm trying to be reasonable because, again, I'm trying to display the midpoint. And the reality with Ridley is he is very volatile week over week. But we know, we've seen it twice this season, he can have big games. He can have 100-yard games. So it is worth exposure to him this week. Pittsburgh, okay, so Levi Wallace, he's going to see a lot of Levi Wallace. He's allowed the 3rd most receiving yards on the season, 413. 2nd most touchdowns, 4. He is tied there at 4 with Patrick Peterson, who is on the other side of this one. So this is a good spot for Calvin Ridley. I do like Terry McLaurin a lot against the Philadelphia Eagles. Last year, I wouldn't have liked it. I would have been like, nah, I'm staying away from Darius Slay. Okay, well, they played back in week 4, as I just mentioned. In that game, McLaurin had 8 catches on 10 targets for 80 yards. Not amazing, but 8 catches. Like, that'll be just fine on DK. Darius Slay in that game was targeted 11 times by Sam Howell. He gave up 10 catches for 126 yards. Darius Slay is not playing as well this year, and I don't know if it's the fact that the composition of that group is different. You know, you don't have Avante Maddox out there. I don't know if he's still pissed off that Matt Patricia's involved in the coaching staff, but I'm going to take advantage of it. I don't need to explain it. I'm going to take advantage of it. Marco Wilson, he is a Cardinals corner. He has allowed 532 receiving yards so far this season. When we look at usage, the Ravens receiver who is most likely to line up across from Marco Wilson, Odell Beckham, who actually looked pretty good last week. Numbers weren't amazing. And the price point, honestly, you look at the price point on him, what is he, 38 hunch on DraftKings. So he doesn't even have to do that much. Like, if Odell Beckham goes out and he has, let's call it like 5 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown, he's going to be a fantastic play. Like, he doesn't have to have 180 yards to be an amazing play. Now, it'd be great if he did so, but the matchup's really encouraging. Matchup's encouraging for Josh Downs. He exploded over the last 3 weeks here, 16 catches, 243 yards, and 2 scores, running nearly exclusively out of the slot, 85% of the time this season. So he's going to see Alante Taylor. The Saints slot corner has allowed 3 touchdowns on the season. Over his last 2 games, 9 catches allowed on 11 targets. Great spot for Josh Downs. Also really like the spot for Brandon Ayuk. And yes, you will have Sammy Franchise, the Samchise there, under center. But no Deebo Samuel in the matchup. I do think we see some shadow out of Cam Taylor-Britt. Taylor-Britt has been stingy in terms of catch rate, 53%, but he's allowing 17.6 yards per catch in his coverage. And last I checked, Brandon Ayuk has some juice, has some upside, so I don't mind that one at all for him. In terms of the downgrades, for DFS purposes, going to downgrade Michael Pittman. So, all right, while we have an upgrade for Josh Downs, why does Pittman get a downgrade in the same game? Marshawn Lattimore. I 100% expect Marshawn Lattimore to be on Pittman for a good chunk of this game. He is the exact type of receiver that Lattimore tends to shadow. Those bigger body dudes, you know, you think of like a Mike Evans type. Pittman doesn't play the game like Evans, but he's built like that, like he's a bigger dude. So this makes sense. 54% catch rate in Lattimore's coverage this season. We know he's really good. Cortland Sutton. Okay, so Sutton is having a career year. He has 5 receiving touchdowns for the first 7 games. His previous career best was in 2019. He had 6. So he's already like, he's going to have the, likely the best statistical season of his career, provided he stays healthy. So I do think he's the more likely to draw coverage from Legarius Sneed this week. He's holding opposing receivers to 10.1 yards per catch on the season. Not a great one. DeAndre Hopkins, not only is the quarterback situation a mess, and I'll talk more about that tomorrow, you're going to have Levis, but I also think you're going to have like wildcat looks out of Malik Willis in that contest. So it's going to be, yeah, it's not going to be fun. But anyway, that plus the matchup, because I do think we see shadow coverage from AJ Terrell on DeAndre Hopkins. That puts a major damper on what Hopkins can do here. I don't see a good game out of him in this one. All right, let's see. Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt. They face the Jets. I mean, this is straightforward. Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, Michael Carter. They've allowed a combined one touchdown on the season. That's it, just one. So not a good spot for the Giants receivers. We know that every week against the Jets. How about this? Yo, Bears fans, I see you. I see you, Jalen Johnson. This dude is balling, man. I wish, like, Jalen Johnson's like one of these, like, there's always these, like, secret superstars at corner. He is certainly a secret superstar right now. He's playing excellent football. 43% catch rate, no touchdowns allowed, and Josh Palmer figures to see more of him. This is not a knock on Keenan Allen. Being a perimeter receiver, Palmer figures to see Johnson. Palmer's also dealing with an ankle issue, so this is not the best week to be loading up on some Josh Palmer. All right, that's going to do it for today. I will be back tomorrow for the flagship episode of the show, the big one. We'll break down the remaining games. Enjoy that Thursday night football. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Getting up on the gram or whatever the kids say. I don't know. I'm actually posting on there now, so follow along there as well. Enjoy the football tonight if you're listening to this before Thursday Night Football, and I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.